When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
Are you ready for this hot snatch, honey?
Well, honey, you're giving male illusion, so you can't do that. That's against the rules.
I am in drag, Rue.
Well, today we're covering season 7 Snatch Game with some high highlights. Kennedy as Little Richard.
Shut up. Ginger as Adele Dazeem and Katya as Susie Orman.
Plus Tamar Braxton giving us 2 different hair systems.
Judge.com. And the pressure really gets to the queens in the workroom and on the main stage. Strap it in, honey. It's leather and lace.
It's time for another episode of Race Chaser
Classica.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser.
I guess I'll open the outline.
Ooh.
Hello, my darling, dear little chickadee. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser
Classic,
a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of
RuPaul's Drag Race,
starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
I'm not what you would call an overnight sensation.
Oh, your name's Max.
I had to take advantage of the moment. My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Hi, I'm Willem.
Now, our day is as being classy ladies are numbered because there is a new season coming out very soon. Season 14, the queens have been revealed. Reveal yourself.
So y'all know what that means. That means we will, of course, be covering this new season of Drag Race in real time.
No, make the chop do it. I'm just kidding. No, we're doing it. Well, I'm so excited about season 14. Are you?
I'm so excited. We got some good LA girls. And this means the new coverage for the, what do we call it when it's not classique? Recent.
Au courant.
Yeah. The au courant Drag Race premiere for us will be January 7th, and our recap will come out on the 12th.
That's right.
So tune into Friday's Hot Goss. We're going to cover the season 14 cast reveal.
Yes.
Give little tidbits and shidbits about the little girls.
Yes. So exciting. Can't wait to get to know this great group of dolls and divas. Yeah. But as for this episode, we're talking about a different group of amazing dolls and divas, the season girls. Seven girls.
Spin it back 8 years. We got those season seven queens.
Yes.
The queens did challenges last week, and there was nothing mini about it. There was a supersized pit crew showing off monsters in the pans, mm-hmm. and then they had the true Hollywood reenactment story,
yes.
where they told the tale of Merle Ginsburg. Pearl finally came out of her shell.
Pearl Ginsburg.
Pearl had a great moment. Candy. Oh, Candy Ho, not Candy Candy.
Not Candy Muse.
I was like, Candy Muse, she ain't there yet. Candy Ho's ruwig was questionable. But her monkey made her this. She could have used the potato salad that her monkey did to cover up her boy edges, but she didn't.
Okay.
The queens did Death Becomes Her on the runway, and after a long night of hooking, all the Trey didn't like the sessions, so he had gutted most of them, but specifically
like
Candy
fish.
Ho got gutted. She went home after the Jaden, Ariana, Candy Ho moment, and now we're left with seven girls. Eight girls.
Honey, it's getting down to the nitty gritty.
Plus the monkey that made the potato salad.
Honey, that's the way the potato salad crumbles.
Is there blue cheese crumbles?
Yes. We get a mirror message from Miss Candy. Everything happens for a reason. Pero la vida continúa. Big things will come, Candy Ho.
Is that bitch life goes on?
Everything happens for a reason, but life goes on, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She's right. Max is talking about how she's going to wear one non-gray wig on the runway and then go right back to gray after complaining that Michelle wants to see something different.
Girl, if I was getting specifics, I would just do it.
Yeah. Some of the girls feel that way.
Well, if you were getting specifics, would you do it?
I was never really told anything to do different on the runway.
They told you to not be robotic.
And then I cried.
So
same
yeah.
episode. But it wasn't like something that I planned to do.
Because those tears were real.
They were.
I believe you.
So, I would give specifics, a chance if I was given them. Would you have given specifics a chance?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you kind of
really?
Have to.
It was called RuPaul's Drag Race, and you didn't get in drag for all the challenges, so...
Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes for one of them.
You know how boy drag goes.
We'll see how that goes for Miss Kennedy Davenport later this episode, because...
We shall she. Yes, we shall. Kennedy also has some input on the Max. She says that she'd love to see Max in the bottom for a reality check.
Yeah, she's mad. I mean, there's definitely tension brewing. And, I mean, Violet and Pearl are giving some fierce interview chair regarding Miss Kennedy Davenport. They are not happy with her long night of hooking look.
Well, they said it wasn't clear how she died, and the prompt was Death Becomes Her. And yeah. I understand that. She did talk her way out of it and in it and around it, which was entertaining enough. But,
yeah.
The prompt was elusive, I'd say, in Kennedy's case.
Yeah.
Violet says more specifically she looks like Tony the Tiger on crack.
Right.
I'm not getting Tony the Tiger on crack. I'm getting Tony the Tiger's crackhead mistress.
Yeah, there's a difference. Yeah.
How dare Violet,
there
first of all.
There's a marked difference there.
But did she look dead? Dead sexy.
Dead sexy.
Does she look like a woman? No, she looks better than a woman. She's more than a woman.
It's not natural. It's supernatural.
She's a Davenport.
Honey.
Yeah. What do you think about the next day?
Well, the next day, there's no table chats, honey. We are straight in.
Wait. The girls come in, though. Max has her little umbrella in case of precipitation. And she's wearing a robe that's giving nip slips, which I find vulgar.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Vulgarities in the workroom.
Everyone can express themselves however they like, okay?
We're not talking about that.
We get a video message from RuPaul that says, "Hey, racers, like my mama used to say, you ain't got nothing nice to say about somebody, don't say nothing at all."
Cricket, cricket, cricket.
Or just ask Bianca Del Rio to say it for you.
Oh, yeah. And then BDR pops up. She says, oh, look at you guys. I hope you're not as stupid as you are ugly. Listen, I've got one tip for you. You're a drag queen. Be funny.
Okay. Make them laugh. Make them laugh.
I have a question.
This
do you think there was...
clown musical.
Do you think that I'm giving my Olivia Lux? I have a question. May I ask a question? I see a little purple box on the floor next to one of the girls' feet. Do you think they had like some sort of little mini box challenge when they're all standing in their lineup?
There's
a box on the floor. I don't know. I feel like something was cut because why would a girl bring a little tiny box over, put it down next to her foot?
It's very possible. I mean, maybe one of the girls had a surprise, or maybe they did have a mini challenge and they cut it. That does happen.
I'm just wondering what was in the box, but oh well.
Well, for this week, the maxi challenge, RuPaul is sick of seeing everyone's authentic selves. She wants to see some fake-ass hilarity in a game called The Snatch Game! Back when RuPaul was actually very excited by the idea of the Snatch Game. And you could tell she's very into it. She's very excited.
It's a fun challenge.
Okay, where's this
box? You see the little box next to Pearl's foot? Oh. Fame's foot?
Oh. Oh, it's electric. Cable. It's electrical.
Boogie, woogie, woogie. Is it?
Yes. Girl, there was shit popping out of the floor all over the place in that room.
That... they really had an outlet on the floor like that? That kind of hazard? I'm not surprised.
Dangerous.
Not surprised at all. What the fuck? Who puts an outlet there?
You know.
Never mind. I know exactly who puts an outlet there.
Okay. You already know.
The underfootedness of it all. So Snatch Game, Katya gives wrong answers only. She says, Snatch Game is when we put on giant latex frog costumes and compete in a fiery obstacle course. Guy Fieri
obstacle
course.
That's not what Snatch Game is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, I was thinking about this, and I've been working on this character for months. I'm doing Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, no. I'm going to be doing Caitlyn Jenner.
Well... what you want to do isn't necessarily what you're gonna do.
Well,
how's Stone Versace if, boots?
What if I'm on All Stars?
Nah, Stars.
Okay. Yeah, we have Violet and Fame both contending for the spot of Donatella Versace. And neither one seems to want to back down.
No.
And then RuPaul comes in for these workrooms. And it's a Violet or Fame showdown.
Right. Now, I mean, I'm very of the school of thought that, like, just have two Donatellas and may the best fucking Donatella win.
Me
you
too,
know?
But I think every girl, once it gets down to that, gets too scared of knowing
yes.
that they'll be the worst one, maybe. So that's never played out how we would have played it out, you know?
I think a lot has changed and Snatch Game has evolved and the rules have a lot more latitude now. And I think nowadays you could have two of the same character and there's a lot of comedy built into that. I am the real Donatella.
Depending on the participants, yeah,
what?
There could be some comedy. Kennedy wants to do Little Richard and both Katya and Ginger are like, no, don't do that. Do Sweet Brown.
That's a man. Are you crazy?
Sweet Brown, she's got cold pop, like all these sayings. It's like, honey, she had one monologue and you're trying
to
get Kennedy to do her whole thing on it.
They really want her to do Sweet Brown, which she kind of did Sweet Brown already in the RuPaul parody challenge. I'm you know, and then in the walkthrough I thought the walkthrough was really funny because RuPaul was like, I can't tell you what to do here. All RuPaul does is tell people who to do for Snatch Game.
I mean...
You know the character that you brought a costume for and you've been preparing? You know, throw that in the trash. I'm really tickled by Who's that band that sings the feel the beat of the rhythm of the night?
The Barge.
No, you know what? Just do El DeBarge. You know, actually, all RuPaul does is tell people who to do for Snapchat. But now all of a sudden he's like, I don't, you know, I can't do only it. You can make
standards
decision,
and practices,
my child.
With all this money on the line. We're going to take a break and come back with
already?
Sharon Needles. Oh, wait, no, it's Max.
A haunted house!
I just came back from one.
Let's take a break and we'll come back from one in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by, I almost nodded off because this Helix mattress is so comfortable, Helix Sleep!
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
I've had several many Helix mattresses for several many years now, and I love them all. They're all my
babies. I've read the men's room wall.
We have the Midnight Dusk. We have the one for heavy sleepers, and that's also good.
Oh, they're all good.
If you have slumber parties, I love a Helix party. And we are the Helix girls, and we have been for such a long time that we know what works best for us and our bodies. But if you don't know, you could take a Helix sleep quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Also models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
Ooh, plus enhanced cooling features to help you from overheating at night.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home, so that's why they offer a 100-night trial to try out your new Helix mattress and a 10- to 15-year warranty.
Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it's not going to last long.
It's so good, I'm going to say it again. That's helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
So Max is going to do Sharon Needles, but a Disney Sharon Needles, he says, which is kind of like all the best parts of Sharon are the parts that are vulgar and unexpected, not Disney and expected. Right. So this is one of those things where you're like, okay.
Right. And
so we have two girls doing Rue Girls at this point, too, which you're no longer allowed to do.
Yes, and we're starting to see...
Why?
Well, definitely. We're starting to see Rue Girls being used as, like, a crutch, and it's, like, sort of an easy go-to for girls, which they did away with, I think, shortly after this season. They said, don't audition with Rue Girls. You're not allowed to do them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not an avid, like, Drag Race fan, they're trying to widen their audience. They don't want you to do something that's a reference to 3 seasons ago, specific, you know?
Unless they're pushing through a web show about one of the girls.
Right.
Oh, wow. RuPaul just pushed my microphone over. She said, "What did you say, bitch? I can hear you."
Now, Jaden is considering doing Raven Simone and is like, you know what? She's just, she like kind of has a high-pitched voice like this. And
I feel like if she and I met, we'd be best friends.
Yeah.
And this is basically Kennedy's directive about her just like being herself and stop being like some little goody two-shoes and just leaning into her like round-the-way girlness.
Right.
And she's not. She's going Disney, Raven, and...
Yeah.
You can feel Kennedy's eyes rolling from across the room. And RuPaul is, you know, she's rolling her good one, too. She's like, okay.
Yeah, not really buying it. I mean, there was possibility for Raven Simone, I think. And she's, we'll see how she does. But I think she starts off really great. But then it
what
just
do you think about,
kind of is one note.
What do you think about Fame and Rue? And Rue telling Fame, like, being kind is one thing, but winning is another.
RuPaul
don't
really
let her stand
is.
In your way.
She's really stirring the shit during this walkthrough. You know what? You should just follow your heart. Don't change your character because of her. But Violet, you change your character.
Yeah. You do that other girl that we're trying to push through, Miss Alyssa. You do her.
Okay.
We're gonna save Teresa Caputo for Fifi in All Stars.
I thought it was Detox. Hmm? Where are the bodies?
No, that's Nancy Grace.
Wait.
And you call yourself a podcaster.
Fifi did Teresa Caputo?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. You were there.
Girl, I blocked it out.
You stupid bitch.
I pay my therapist to block it out, honey.
Do you use code DRAG on your BetterHelp, honey?
Honey, I use hypnotism. To get rid of those memories.
Your hips are no, but there's no tisms. You're...
No.
Never tism. Mind. tism. So what do you think about Katya having her breakthrough, realizing that she's addicted to the anxiety?
Well, I mean, luckily RuPaul is able to remove all psychological blocks and any lifelong hangups with the turn of a phrase. She tells Katya that she's addicted to anxiety. Katya has a breakthrough and is cured. So I thought that was really nice.
Flim flam flom. Done. Kennedy also is being led down a multi-path road by RuPaul. When told about her Little Richard choice, Rue says, "Well, I can't tell you to decide what to do, but
I can tell these other girls what to do, but I can't tell you."
Yeah, so
it's, I love it.
It's misdirect upon misdirect, or Mrs. Direct.
And
sorry.
I'm so Mrs. Direct. I'm so glad that Kennedy took this leap and did Little Richard, and it's one of the most memorable Snatch Game characters in the history of the game, and and it really solidifies Kennedy as one to watch. Because mm-hmm. It's like, you're not just going to get the expected from this person. She's wickedly hilarious. Wickedly funny. Adele.
Wicked beauty.
Lizzie. Violet says, "Can I get a time check?" Because she has to change her character now to Alyssa Edwards. But, you know, the Alyssa Edwards mug of the time isn't that different from Donatella Versace. Very tan, very bold eye. Just change the wig.
Yeah. Maybe take off that nostril flare. That's it.
We get our Snatch Game contestants, Michael Urey and Tamar Braxton. Wow. Mm-hmm. Work.
And the stars are aligning for the panel. We have Max as Sharon, Jaden as Raven Simone, Katya as Susie Orman. Mm-hmm. We have Violet as Alyssa's Secret. Mm-hmm. Pearl is Big Ange,
yes.
A Cancer. She shares my birthday, June 30th. Woo woo. Donatella Versace is Miss Fame. Little Richard is Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And Ginger Minj as Adele.
Yes. Overall, this is a really fun snatch game. I mean, to me, Ginger was...
Depends what you do for fun.
What?
Depends what you do for fun, honestly.
Ginger was the apex predator in this challenge. I think everyone kind of paled in comparison to Ginger, who was just sort of holding it down, always was living and acting and responding in every scenario as this character. Really, really funny.
See, I think that this snatch game was, you know, a 40% or 50%. I think four of them were funny. Five of them were tolerable. Three of them were no ma'am, no how. Don't want him on a stage doing this again.
Okay.
You know, I never need to see Max, Jaden, or Fame do any of these personifications ever again.
Okay.
Violet's was fine. It wasn't offensive. But, like, I thought Kennedy, Pearl, and Adele and Ginger did great. They delivered. They were in the moment. They made RuPaul laugh. They made Michael Urie and Tamar laugh.
Yeah. Pearl was really funny, and I feel like kind of got like sidelined a little this episode. They were like, we've been giving her a lot of action, but like Big Ange was really, really great. Mm-hmm. A really smart character. And I want to shout out Pearl's makeup as Big Ange. I mean, Pearl is always such a transformer with her makeup, and this makeup job is really fucking cool and sick and accurate.
Yeah.
And fierce.
The way she played with the lights and the darks and like Trump Lloyd her face into looking like Big Ange really worked.
It really
from the front.
And just huge like balloons in the blouse. Very Kim Petras coconuts.
My coconuts. Those are the words.
That's what you have to do with Snatch Game. It's like about, it's, you're sitting behind a desk, so like make the shapes really broad, be this fucking character. I thought she did a great job. And Katya as Susie Orman, you could tell she was a little nervous, but that's just because we know her. But overall, I mean, she had really funny responses, and I thought she did a good job.
Yeah, I think that Katya was funny. She gave me the giggles.
Yeah.
And as long as RuPaul's still laughing,
that wig was not a good investment.
Fame so mad. She's like, what?
Like, actually, yeah, actually mad. Not mad in character, just actually bothered.
Yeah, actually bothered. The next day, Katya is having a moment. She's saying her anxiety about her Snatch Game performance is getting the best of her, which leads her and Fame to have a little chat to the side about sobriety and how they're, you know, they're, what's the, it's called the network that holds someone up.
Mm.
What is that called? Support network.
Yeah.
Like that, okay. Is gone right now because Katya was 18 months sober at this point.
Yes.
And Fame's been sober for like 9 months. And, you know, not being able to go to a meeting.
9 years.
9 years, yeah. No sponsors. Being away from the support system is really hard for Katya. But Fame is there, shoulder to cry on, have a little giggle, back to the mirrors.
Yes.
It's very that.
Do you think that it's unsafe to not have this sort of support for, I mean, because addiction is a medical, you know, problem. Maybe in the future they could like allow contact to someone from the support network for people who are addicts or in the program, right?
I mean, they could just have RuPaul come in and talk to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's better. That is better than any support system.
We know how much she likes to share at her meetings. She books it right after.
Okay.
So what's wrong with saying that? Everybody knows it.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong. She has a very important business meeting.
Well, on the main stage.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that main stage. RuPaul could make it to the main stage. It's so nice of her to share with us this roll-up fruit dress, fruit roll-up
chartreuse
gown.
And this red latex.
Kind of geometric. Everybody's got this earring. I had this earring in yellow.
Hell yeah. She looks
$2 hair store earring.
Very mod, very 60s, very color blocking. The mm-hmm. makeup, I mean, Matthew has done it again. The makeup and hair are taking us to that 60s kind of moment.
A white bangle on the wrist.
Yes.
Just like, Is one earring pink and one earring red?
No, I think Michael, they're both pink.
No, they're both pink. Michael Urie has to cover his face because his gay gasp must have been so audible.
Yeah.
At seeing RuPaul look so good.
She looks that right, that good. I love the dress. They said, Zaldi said, you know what? I'm gonna take this chartreuse dress and I'm gonna add this fucking red plastic fucking square to it and just make it fucking avant-garde. And
done.
It took it there.
It really did.
Really fabulous. Who else is on the judging?
Michael Urie. Uh-huh.
Tamar Raxton. And Michael Urie return for the judging panel.
There is a moment where RuPaul talks about Michael Urie spending more time in Barbara Streisand's basement than Barbara Streisand, which is a reference to Buyer and Seller, a theatrical play. Which Michael Urie starred in. Drew Drogi also starred in it at one point, I think.
Oh, word.
It's all about Barbara Streisand's basement and how there's like a whole like Epcot gift center down there.
She's a mall in her basement, right?
Mm-hmm. Tidbit. Tammy Tidbit. This runway prompt is a runway that I inspired, obviously. It's called Leather and Lace. I think I was the first girl to give Leather and Lace.
That's right. Leather and Lace and Feathers and Fays.
Tarantino fantasy.
What happened with this runway? I'm not, listen.
It doesn't feel like all the girls were told leather and lace because not all of them are in leather and lace. We have maybe 5 out of 8 of them in leather and lace. All of them have at least one. Ginger has both, but it seems like her lace tights, she should have put a panty on top of the lace tights because it's all lace. You know what I mean? The panties should go on the outside.
I feel like this runway was one of those ones that they didn't prepare them for, and they just told them on the day, like, lace and leather, ladies. Let's see what you've got. Let's see what extra pieces you brought for mini challenges. Like, literally, it feels like that.
It feels like it, but I don't think it was, because enough of them did meet the docket that, you know.
Well, like even anyone Kennedy's- can pull out lace and leather from their, I mean, from their closet right now.
Yeah, one would assume, but not everybody did. So maybe you are right.
Well, let's discuss the looks as we see them. Ginger is giving it's
Snowball
leather.
In Lori Rodkin's yard.
What?
A snowball in Lori Rodkin's yard. It's got like this giant gothic Cher cross, 18 bras, yes. Fake Louboutin, and these white lacy tight. There's at least 3 bras on under there.
She looks pretty, and
I didn't say she did.
And it's leather and lace. It's you know it clicks all the pieces. She says she's going for Elvis, but I mean, yeah, and it's kind of giving Elvis.
She's giving pelvis too.
Right.
She should have done a little boy toy Madonna like a virgin skirt on top of it.
Ah, very that.
That I would have loved, a little tutu.
Right.
Frou-frou. Miss Katya.
This nice. Is
lace and leather, and I've noticed something. Katya's done the same makeup for every runway.
For her whole career.
Career.
I think.
Yeah.
It's her standard, you know.
Not mad. It's working.
Yeah, it's her standard face, and why not stick with it when
the pussy's
it looks
on fire.
Great?
She extinguishes the fire, and then she kisses the flame.
I love this look. This is one of the most cohesive looks on the runway for me.
And simple, you know?
Yes. Simple, but really to the point.
Throw and go hair.
She's Britney at 40. 45.
Yeah, Britney is 40 now.
I know. Britney's 40. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Kennedy Davenport almost fulfills the docket. I feel like this is definitely pleather. And while there are see-through aspects of the other material, it's definitely not lace.
Okay.
And this pushback beauty of using your own frontal.
She was wearing hair that was ready for a crown. She said, I'm going to leave space.
Meaning she was going to the dentist to get a filling?
She said, I'm going to leave space up here so you can just pin that crown right on. I'm going to make it easy for you. Okay. Right.
She's selling the garment.
To me, it doesn't, if you're saying leather and lace, it does not have to be actual leather. I think leather is completely within the bounds of reason because
sure.
Why do you have to kill animals just to fucking fulfill a docket?
Yeah.
Is but where's it the lace? It's,
her boots are laced up. What is that the lace part?
Is the definition of lace floral? I think it is.
No, the definition of lace is the textile of what it's made of. It's like a woven, it's the technique. Lace is like woven or laced somehow.
But
like,
it has to do with floral, does it not?
No, not necessarily. Lace can be any pattern. It doesn't need to be floral in particular.
Okay.
Maybe like a Brussels lace is a specific pattern or something, but like lace just means like
I could go lace. For a Brussels sprout lace right now.
Honey, you've been laced with a lot from what I've heard, but you were only worst Damon.
Honey, that joint was laced with something. Well, I like the dress, and of course Kennedy Davenport is always going to give you a runway presentation.
Yes, definitely. She presented it.
Who's next?
Next is Violet Chachki giving vintage pinup, coming out with a gag in her mouth. She's got lace garters, patent leather boots, and like almost, what would we call this on top? A jacket or is this a straight jacket? She's pushing through these Courtney cakes too. She's the nobody girl.
Well, I mean, she looks fabulous. I love this.
I'm not
this.
Mad. Because she can get her waist down to a tiny enough thing that her no-caked body looks fine.
Yeah, she's taking leather really to the extreme because she's giving it a very, like, bondage S&M kind of point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of lacy panty showing, just a little.
Love it. I also love the hair with just a little bit of blonde on the end just to give some color so it's not all stuck in the black.
Yeah.
She's, you know.
She looks great.
Doing the damn thing. Max, not an ounce of lace, comes out doing some character, some dead widow bullshit story.
Okay.
Hasn't she done this before?
She's giving a black widow spider. She has a spider web on her head, and on her butt is the little, like, triangle hourglass shape in red.
What is the triangle hourglass shape? I don't get that.
That's the shape on a black widow spider.
Oh.
So this has a concept. So fishnet doesn't count as lace?
No, fishnet is not lace.
Okay. I mean, overall, I think this is a very beautiful look. It's taking us there. It is very safe for Max, unfortunately.
I think it's a B word, too. Boring.
Okay. If you didn't see this in the context of the whole season... I don't know. I mean, I think she looks really fierce.
Does she?
Yes. For me, listen, I had a rough fucking childhood. I wasn't sitting around watching Batman and Robin, okay?
I just don't get, like, this little shrug that she had, and then she rips it off. We've already seen what's under it. We know it's a little corset. Like, mm-hmm. What is your reveal? You did a reveal with a bolero, honey.
Okay.
I'm good. It just doesn't excite me. Like, if this is your chance to be on Drag Race and that's what you came up with,
okay,
kick rocks.
Oh, my God. Well, next up is Jaden Dior Fierce, giving us bouncing and behaving hair.
Honey, this hair is the best thing about this outfit.
Yes, it is.
And the face.
Four
the face
times the size of her head.
At least. I love this hair.
Yeah.
The lace that she has is kind of a... applique of sorts,
yes.
Sewn on this nude illusion top.
Mm-hmm.
And then the skirt, its hem is all over the place, like it's asking for directions, but it's so much shorter in the back where her butt is. Mm-hmm. Makes me think that she didn't try her body on when she did her fitting or something.
Yeah. And
it's,
yeah. And Jaden is always so, like, everything is just right and in place from head to toe with all of her looks so far this season. I think that, like, this just was one of her less planned outfits.
Mm. Yeah.
And she knows it. You know, sometimes you show up at Drag Race. I know, probably not you. But sometimes you show up at Drag Race and you know that, like, oh, this look is my A plus. This look is my A minus. This one's a C, and I hope I'll be safe that week. You know, that fucking happens. It's a lot of looks to do. And you don't have your husband bringing you things and leaving them in the hotel hallway for you.
Some of our husbands weren't busy cheating on us on the road.
So you read my book.
I did. My name's Alaska. What's yours? Available at Penguin Chronicle Literatures.
It's chroniclebooks.com/Alaska, but thank you.
Exactly. /drag/BetterHelp.
Let's go ahead and get into Pearl's look.
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
Bird
alert. Alert.
Alert.
Alert.
Alert. Shalert.
Do we have an alert sound that we can put in there?
A life alert.
Yeah. Alert. Alert. We have a queen wearing her promo look. It happened. It
promo
happened, everyone.
Spotted. This doesn't happen all the time.
I have never, ever in my life heard of this happening. No, this
beauty.
Happens all the time, especially in the earlier seasons.
Yeah, Fifi did it. Pearl did it. A couple of the girls have done it.
Yeah.
This is a lovely pink leather and lace look with pearls on Pearl.
Yes.
And other diamante accessories. She looks great. And what a way to stand out, not going the expected route of black leather and lace, going pink leather and lace while giving
yes.
face.
A smart choice. And Pearl always, you know, is styled to perfection and she looks mm-hmm. great. And this is her, like, is it the exact promo look? I know she wears the jacket.
No, she wears a pant.
Okay.
She wears a pant.
Yeah.
It's like an American Apparel oyster color shiny disco pant.
Yes.
Now Fame comes out as like, honey, this is
stun.
Pussy Dracula hooker everything. Eastern European whoremonger Barbarella. Barbed wire. I love this look from Fame. She's painted.
Oh, yeah. She went deep with the paint. But even with Miss Fame.
Hard paint.
Even with Miss Fame, I feel like you could tell this was her. For Fame, this is her, like, you know, her B look. This isn't her A plus.
I feel like she's worn this neck thing on something else.
It's very possible. But she looks fucking stunning.
And long hair. She hasn't given us long hair. It's always been structured and, like, up and, like, jelly rolled. And
right.
This is, like, a free fame. She's a free fame woman.
Sushi roll! Sushi roll!
She looks great. And she's just living on the runway. We're going to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. Let's take a break on that one.
Take a break.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. You're literally getting them out of you by speaking them and figuring out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
That's right. And I think, and I've said this before, I think therapy is a very useful tool, whether you've been through something very traumatic or you're just trying to better yourself.
Yeah, and if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. You don't have to leave your house. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Yeah, all the therapists have licenses, so get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
IJS. IJS.
Go suck off
I'm
my father.
Just saying. I really need justice for this catchphrase that comes right at the top of the episode. Kenny Davenport says it. She says, IJS, I'm just saying. And this has stuck with me. I say it all the time and people are always like, huh? IJS? What? It's one of those catchphrases that almost caught and didn't catch.
IYKYK.
If you know, you know.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. So some girls caught it, some girls didn't. So the judges declare Violet and Pearl as the safe girls, and they get to walk on back.
They Violet just says, this cackle is... their way off stage.
Oh, look, I almost slipped on your on your lube. Oh, I need more
Pearl's
alcohol.
Pearl's like, oh, sorry, I tripped on you, Max. You're probably going home. Ah! Oh, God. Oh, shit.
This is Violet's first time being safe, she says.
Okay, I can see that, because they want to talk about those looks. There's a lot to talk about.
The judges want to talk about a lot of stuff, too. They said that Ginger's Adele was wonderful. Michelle thinks her hair is too triangular on the runway, giving early Thorgy Thor concepts and shapes, maybe.
Rectangular girls of the world.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, Fame, they love this different kind of vibe that she's giving, but that her snatch game is only like 20% there. Where are the jokes? Where are the jokes?
Kennedy gets told that by Michelle she's not a fan of boy drag, but she killed it.
Yes.
And it was a type of risk that Ross didn't expect from Kennedy.
Yes.
But they loved her dramatic runway walk, walking in circles and puddles, pointing to the puddle and saying, avoid the puddle. I'm going to get my shoe wet.
No.
Walk around that puddle. You want to take it on, Max?
Well...
take it on the Max, baby.
There's... okay, we as podcasters should discuss that more happened than what was shown here. What we were shown was Max's critique start, then she's taking off her corset, then RuPaul's like, can someone help her get herself together? And then out of nowhere, Max is sitting on the edge of the stage singing, I wouldn't be called an overnight sensation. And then the judges are like, what is this? Oh no, I took advantage of the moment. Okay, more happened here, and I believe she like posted about it when this happened.
More happened, and chronologically, this wasn't the order of events, apparently. Like, I don't think the loosening of the corset actually happened during her critique. I think it was at a different time.
Okay.
Also, RuPaul was the one that prompted her, give us a little song. And they, of course, didn't show that.
Sing us something.
Yeah. There's, like, empty bowls behind Max. Like, they brought her, like, grapes or, you know, some snacking options. There's some
empty
drinks.
Bowls?
Like, what is she? Did they fully have, like, a snack break and then nap time? What were they letting Max do at this point? I don't know. I feel like she should have gone in the back and put on a gray wig and all would have been fine.
Well, luckily... Joseph Shepherd did an exposed interview with Max about this very moment. So maybe we can throw it to some audio and hear a little explanation.
I love that, Joseph Shepherd.
I think they had told us too, like, if you're ever feeling unsafe or whatever, let the production people know, let this certain producer or director or whatever this man was know that you need a moment, you need to take a drink of water, do something to prevent catastrophe. So I got a water bottle and I was sitting on the edge of the stage for a minute, unstrapped my corset and up on the judges panel. I mean, obviously I'm interrupting production, so I feel it in retrospect that it was inconvenient for production, all these people getting paid, etc. But they definitely took advantage of the moment, as I took advantage of the moment, and they used my sitting down for a little bit of production. And Rue asked me to sing, I think she asked me to sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And I don't know, on that little Twitter thing, it says she asked me to sing a few bars of Swanee, but I think she said Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Because I was like, no, I'm going to sing the thing she sings in A Star Is Born instead when she's sitting on the edge of the stage, because that would be more correct. Because mm-hmm. I'm an avid Judy Garland fan. So I was saying, so I can't quite be called overnight sensation.
So I can't quite be called overnight sensation.
For it started many years ago, but I didn't sing the whole thing. I just sang the, because she's singing, how about She was born in a trunk in the Princess Theater in Pocatello, Idaho. It's in A Star Is Born, and she's sitting on the edge of the stage singing it. So I sang like one line of that, and they put it, I guess they put it in as me just like singing to sing, even though I couldn't breathe a moment earlier, so I wouldn't have decided of my own volition to sing. And then also they had like some little moment with Ginger being like rolling her eyes at me or something, a little talking head about how I had just decided to start singing or some shit.
The actress. Ginger definitely makes it known that the actress is popping out of Max right now.
Well, this is very... Well, I, you know... and, you know...
Exactly.
If you can't breathe or you're having an anxiety attack or
how the
you're
hell
gonna
breathe
faint,
someone else...
You have to say something, and you have to do something about that.
No, you just throw up. You don't say, can I have a moment? You just do it. You pass out, and then you get more screen time. She shouldn't have said, oh, I'm feeling lightheaded. She should have just passed out.
Okay.
That's what she ends up saying at the end.
Really? Yeah, honestly, like, because there was no way she was going to come out of this unscathed. They were going to just use it for their own thing. You have to take control of it and own it. You can't ask for someone else's permission to like be whatever you're going to be on this show, because they will find a way to use it against you.
But I mean, it's physically dangerous to pass out. I mean,
whatever. No, it's not. I fainted all the time.
Or, you know.
Sure. Yeah, but you're wearing a wig, so you're not going to hurt your head. You're not going to have a stem injury, girl.
Okay. Well,
I just here's the thing: the girls that come on the show with a fake or a character, you know, the Ben de la Cremes, the Maxes, the girls that have this character built in,
mm-hmm.
James Mansfield, some of the girls don't really feel like they know these girls because they're being, quote unquote, even faker than they are dressing up as women. So they don't always get portrayed as authentic. And when you're not authentic on camera, the editors usually don't know what to do with it. You have one girl talking in British, and then she's talking in American, and then it's... I understand where Max's storyline kind of went wrong for her. For TV's sake, it went great. For her personally, it went wrong. But that was only from her own choices, I feel like. She could have controlled it a lot better, in my opinion. Listen to more of that Joseph Shepherd interview on Exposed, because it gives a lot more insight about Max. Not a stupid girl at all. Made some choices on the show that she might not have made if she had the chance to do it again. Right. But it wasn't her season.
Yes. We get some critiques about Jaden. They said like she started out kind of strong. You know, she had a couple funny jokes at the beginning, but it sort of just plateaued.
Yeah. And Tamar says, don't come out of Shaka Khan's little sister, come out of Shaka. You know? Mm-hmm. And she very much is given little sister.
It's like not sugar! Giving... So sweet.
Katya gets great critiques. Tamar says she looks like Britney at 45, and she says she was hilarical in the challenge.
Yes.
And Michael Urie loves everything about her.
Yes. Well, we get a winner of this challenge, and it's Kennedy Davenport. Shocker twist. Oh, y'all wanted a twist. Oh, boy drag is forbidden. Well, get into this.
And then they cut to Ginger sucking her teeth.
Well,
doing one of
that?
Those. And then they say, Ginger Minj, you're also the winner. It's the first tie in Snatch Game history.
For
and
the
they
first
both win.
Time ever.
Fabulous feather accoutrement from Mother Plucker.
I love Mother Plucker. I've gotten some great things from over there.
Me too.
Yes, yay. God. Mm-hmm. The bottom two end up being Jaden Dior Fierce and Max lip syncing to a song, which we will tell you about after this break.
Oh, I love breaks.
Them's the breaks. Putting on a little limp plumper, are we? Doll
it's so
face?
Shiny.
It's sugar pill.
Ooh.
In the color of purity, which Max would love because she's purity. Not vulgar. She doesn't work blue. Purity.
So pure, so innocent.
Jaden Dior and Max Atina lip sync to a song called No More Lies by Michelet,
yeah. Did you like the lip sync?
Well, like Morgan McMichaels, I was living for the lip sync. And this was not a rooftop lip sync. This was right on the main stage.
I like a hooker makeover with Morgan McMichaels.
Jaden did a great job, and all we really saw was Jaden. I mean, they cut to Max for a couple of doop-doops, but this was the Jaden show.
Yeah, I think Max even got a doopity-doop, but that was it.
She did.
But that was about all. They showed her in the wide crossing over to Jaden's close-up.
Yeah.
This was definitely not the note Max would want to leave on, probably, but she doesn't say much when she does leave either after she's told to hit it. She doesn't say anything when she leaves the main stage, which, you know, a lot of great girls don't say anything. I didn't say anything.
Right. Sometimes you can say more with a look.
She's looking Max for that gray wig. She's, God damn it, I wore this black wig.
She strays from her iconic look one time and gets sent home. I mean, it's Derek Barry syndrome to come, you know.
No, Bob doesn't say it much. He never thought he'd say these words, but Derek Barry was right. I have another thing that goes off for this episode that doesn't go as planned. RuPaul. She makes the startling confession that one of the eliminated queens from season 7 is coming back into the competition. And this is right after in Untucked, Violet and Pearl were talking about, you know, there's only 4 episodes left unless somebody gets brought back. And Violet's like, no, don't speak that into existence. And then it fucking happens. Do you think they heard Violet in Untucked and they were like, hey, that dark-haired bitch is like talking about, and Ru's like, we should. Yeah, let's bring a girl back.
It makes me think they were prompted in Untucked because it's so coincidental that they would be talking about it. But no, it is the worst thing when you have been there and you have been working your ass off and kicking ass and you're there and you're watching girl go home after girl go home. And then they're like, oh, we're going to bring someone else back, so you have to do it more. It really does make the dolls pissed.
Yeah.
And the girls are mad. Ho's mad. Why don't we check in with the one and only Miss Ginger Minj, who has a little bit of insight into the world of season 7 with a segment we call
Ginger Minjfo.
I want to talk to you about Adele. You did Adele for Snatch Game. Had you done Adele before? Have you ever been the girl who dresses up like Adele and goes to the show and goes on stage and Kiki Kaka?
No, I don't do celebrity impersonations. It's not what excites me.
Right.
I impersonate being a celebrity every day of my life now. my mom always goes, this is my son, he's famous. I said, well, I'm her daughter and I'm fame-ish, you know, like, not really.
Fame-ish.
But I've never really been excited by pretending to be other people. Like, I like creating my own characters and doing the things that, like, I want to do without a wig that I'm never allowed to. So that's why I put on the wig and the heels and I go out there and suddenly it's acceptable and people applaud it. So that's fun for me. The only time I had ever played Adele was for a local fundraiser here in Orlando. They did a version of the Match Game. And I did Adele for that, and it went over really well. And people were like, oh, you're just like her. And I'm sitting there going, this is nothing like Adele. She doesn't talk like this. She doesn't act like this.
Right. It doesn't matter.
She barely looks like this. But what I learned in that moment was, if you're funny and you can make people laugh, it makes them forget about everything else they're holding on to. So that's why I really wanted to do Adele for a Snatch Game, and believe, they tried to talk me out of it. Rue tried to talk me into doing Tammy Faye Baker so many times.
Okay.
And right. I just, I held so tight to Adele. I was like, no, this is my security blanket because I've already done it. And right. I know that I can at least be funny with it. I had somebody actually send me a message, and like somebody I don't know, that was like, oh, how does it feel? Your career's over now that Adele's skinny. I was like, first of all, I haven't done Adele since season 7. Second of all, I'm a still doer even if I'm 700 fucking pounds.
The it'll gall. It will be my
swan song on my 600 pound life. I'm gonna be dressed like Adele getting that fucking surgery.
Mm-hmm. Singing Easy on Me, okay?
Exactly.
Did you watch Untucked?
Of course I did. I'm a podcaster, you stupid bitch.
Oh my god.
I have no notes for Untucked.
No notes. Well, I have plenty of notes. Untucked.
Which in the theater, no notes is a great thing. No, it's perfect. No notes.
I mean, you could push yourself a little bit.
What did you think, just between us podcastresses, just between us Queerty Award winners, what did you think?
I thought the part that Pearl and Violet were examining each other's tucks was fascinating. I'm pretty sure one of them fingered? Yeah, Pearl fingered me at one point. I was trying to show her where her prostate was, because she didn't know you could access your prostate from outside. Once. So, like, I understand, like, girls' fascinations with other girls' tucks. Like, oh, you do it that way. Oh, okay. You know, right. Pearl's a Monster Mash advocate. Violet's a tuck to the taint.
Yeah.
And if there were, are you on Got McSvinsta?
I don't believe so.
Oh my god, there was hairy bubblegum all over it. She had Violet on the Dom Perignon speedboat at Art Basel, which is possibly the most Violet thing I've ever said. Just like bubblegum all out. Just like,
gorge.
Yeah, but hairy bubblegum.
It happens.
That's like hair stuck to your lip gloss in the bottom of your purse. It happens, right. But you don't want it to happen.
It does happen.
Yeah, and hair does grow there, which is beautiful, so it's fine. What did you? My favorite part about Untucked was Ginger and Katya outside being crazy girls with the cigarettes, and then at the end of the part where it is amazing, more cameras rush out to catch it. They're like, send more cameras out.
Right.
And then they're like, oops, we're in the shot. And
give this girl a web show at once.
What should we call it? Yeah, that's great.
I don't know. Steal something from Delta Work.
So Jaden is really down about having to lip sync, and Kennedy gives her a little pep talk.
Yes.
Which is nice, because Kennedy's kind of doing the opposite all season and in the interview chair, telling Jaden how over it she is of her playing this, like, goody two-shoes character, you know?
Yeah. And are the other girls, are the mean girls laughing about Jaden? Are they laughing about her outfit?
Yeah, they're saying it's hot glue and hokey pokey.
And Violet was like, I don't even remember what she wore.
Probably something she just made and hot glued or blah, 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 blah. Violet's being very derivative.
Yeah.
Of Jaden's fashions. But it's what Violet does.
Right.
No gorge.
Untucked. That's pretty much what happened.
I do love Kennedy's amazing quote when she basically says to Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Fame is not a live performer.
At all. She's about as seasoned as her chickens that she's raised. She said, and girl, you have hair on, pin it in and swing it. Which honestly, if you have the right hair on, that could be the whole number, just swing it. You don't even, when I have hair on that touches my butt, I'm a different woman. You just need to keep it in motion and swinging, and the bundles dripping down my back cost a stack.
For Tiny. Sure.
You know it. Bundalicia.
You know it, you live it, you love it. And isn't that really just what drag is? Having hair on, pinning it, and swinging it. That is. That's the essence of what we do.
And swing it.
Right, pin it and swing it. We want to thank you very much for joining us for Race Chaser Classique. this week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we would love for you to write a review of our podcast that's genuine and true to your heart on your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe and take a moment to leave us a really fucking good rating, too.
Yeah, and you can follow these dolls at Willem, at the only Alaska 5000, at Race Chaser Pod, at Mom Podcasts. Follow them all. They're all worth it.
We have bonus plus content available at patreon.com/Willem, and you can search for that Race Chaser content by searching the hashtag RaceChaserums.
And you can email us at
racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
And, well, if I did Donatella, I would have more of an Italian accent, not a Russian accent, but
Father, IJS. Son, House of Stalin.
IJS.
IYK.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.